This morning, I was listening to the Hamilton soundtrack from start to finish, as I often do when I need to be focused and productive. Dancing at my desk? Yes. Singing out loud? What? Come on, there are people around. Today especially, though, I needed to be productive and get work done. I'm coming off of a week of beyond late nights that don't agree with my spirit, followed by a week of being utterly useless. And if I put my shame and denial aside for a second, I'm avoiding speaking with God. The last time I was intentional about listening for Him, I didn't like what I heard. But I do know what I heard. It was clear and accurate. He told me to prepare to leave. If you've listened to the last season of this podcast, you know that my husband lost his job here in Hong Kong. And with two kids and two sets of student loan debt, we have to be a two-income household. I mean, paying $2,400 US a month for our 600-square-foot flat probably doesn't help either. But we were hopeful, optimistic. We believed that after 10 years of working at the same company, it was time for David to find something new, something better. This was his chance to flex these new skills that he's had elsewhere. That was back in March, and here we are in September. And 6 months of rejections has really taken its toll on us, on him. So, with the money we have left and our daughters by our side, we prepare to leave. I'm not ready to go, you know that. I'm not ready to leave my home, my friends, my coworkers, this life that we've built together here. I finally had my chance to grow and change and find out who I am, who I want to be, and make my mark. I finally started believing that I could do that, and now all I can see is all that I'm leaving behind. That's why I've been struggling to stay focused at work. That's why I've had trouble sitting down to produce this podcast. That's why I haven't talked to God again. I'm so disappointed. I don't want to prepare to leave. I don't want to leave at all. But as Spotify began to play the song one last time, I slowly began to think of how I want to leave this place. What do I want to leave as my legacy? And so, as I remain obedient and prepare to leave, I decided to write this to you about where I'm at and where I'm going. So today, on Loose Change, 4-page letter. Though in reviewing my time here in Hong Kong, I am unconscious of anything that I might be leaving intentionally unfinished. I am nevertheless too sensible of my own shortcomings not to believe it possible, if not probable, that I have left many things unfinished. But I will also believe that you will view my absence and all the things I'm leaving behind with fondness and nostalgia. My first year in Hong Kong, I fought to set down an anchor so that we could stay and survive. Dave was already working, but I didn't have a job, so I freelanced with no experience in the Hong Kong market. I applied to every graphic design job that I could find. I worked days, I worked nights, I sat on the couch, I guilted myself for sitting on the couch as if there was more that I could be doing, should be doing, in a new city on the literal other side of the world, where I didn't know anyone. I didn't even know all that I didn't know, or what I needed to learn. I was still focused on the path that I thought life had to go down. You don't have a job, so your job is to find a job until you find a job and make yourself useful to the world once again. Nothing else mattered.
Survive, Deanna. Your family is depending on you.
My first year in Hong Kong, I learned what being a mom would look like for me without having a local support system. I felt alone and isolated and scared. I didn't know how to manage my anger besides letting it out and regretting it later. And Aria was too. Very, very too. She had so much energy. She was so bright and effervescent. And damn, she was smart. and I didn't have any way of supporting her. No daycare to send her to learn, no friends to set up playdates with, no extended family to love on her from all sides. Those first few weeks were just me and her getting to know each other while we got to know the city. And did you know that I have absolutely no sense of direction? Mom guilt was thriving, just flourishing. So much guilt of the motherhood persuasion. Because this is what we prayed for, to live in Hong Kong. And no, we didn't fully understand what that would mean or what that would look like, but we wanted it. How do I explain to my only daughter, you don't understand this yet, but your mother is failing you? I had to rely on the kindness of strangers that I didn't know I would find. Some moms in a Facebook group suggested I check out a playroom near the hotel I was staying in. There, Aria ate blueberries while being enchanted by the owner singing Let It Go. And I got to share my portfolio with the other owner and pick up a new freelance client. And we got a glimmer of sunshine on a really cloudy arrival. Last year in Hong Kong, I was introduced to Deanna. The Deanna who actually loved herself and her faults and loved people and their faults. The Deanna who wasn't constantly holding her own faults against her. The Deanna who learned that it was okay to ask God questions and listen for his answers. The Deanna who heard God make jokes. I kid you not, God is hilarious and he always knows exactly what I need when I need it. I'm sorry, I've been avoiding you. The Deanna I became in my last year of Hong Kong, before I even knew it would be my last year, began to stop hiding, ignoring, and denying her gifts. I started to water them and feed them and watch how they could serve others. God, forgive me for using the gifts and ignoring the giver. Recognizing my gifts allowed me to do more for others, especially in ways I felt like I didn't get when I was working in America. My last year here is where I realized that my voice mattered, and not only mattered, but was worthy, and not only was worthy, but valued. You showed me that. You, dear listener. You walked by my side through my lowest valleys, sat by my side, listened, let me talk. I can't tell you what that has meant to me time and time again. And the reward is our mutual care. I was able to learn how to care for you better, how to see you for you. And even when we got it wrong, as we often do because of this whole human nature thing, you taught me not just about forgiveness, but about reconciliation. Ooh, the awkward and long and drunken conversations we've had. Remember that time I started hyperventilating and hid under a table for like an hour? And what did you do? You brought me flowers, stayed on the phone, prayed, let me feel. Remember that time you reflected back to me that I believed that I wasn't good at anything? My whole life, I lived under the assumption that anything I didn't receive, I didn't deserve. And anything I did receive, I didn't earn. I thought that I was only as good as my last thing that I've created, and I could never create anything good on my own. But you did not let me stay with that way of thinking. You made me trust you and made me do the hard, embarrassing, necessary work of changing what I said to myself. You made me question it, trace it, doubt it, let it go. You know what you did? You became Guru Pratik, unblocking Aang's chakra so he could reach untapped potential. Bonus points if you get that reference, double points if you Google it. You made me face my past and question everything that I thought was set in stone. I can never, ever repay you for that. Doesn't mean I'm not gonna try. And remember that time I started a podcast? It was supposed to be just for me because I love listening to podcasts and my video editing skills are not as high as my video editing standards. I didn't even tell anybody when I launched it or when I added more episodes, but I had just enough courage to share it in like very, very small Facebook groups. That was enough. But it wasn't until you started sharing how much you saw yourself in the stories that I was sharing. How you were finding words to describe how you were feeling. I recognize that. I know what you mean. There is something so, and I'm not exaggerating, there is something so life-changing and validating to feel seen and heard. That's what Hong Kong and the people I've met have done for me. That's when I knew I had to make this podcast for you, just as much as it was for me. Atlanta is the next step in our journey. What happens when we arrive? A voluntary quarantine to start, and then, I don't know. I don't know what happens after that. Besides finding a job and a car and a place to live, I think my biggest worry is the coronavirus. I'm leaving a city with mass testing and 99% of society wearing masks to a country that still has cases on the rise and debates over whether or not we actually need to do anything about it. And you know, I kind of get it. America is a country that is often forced into change against its will, which is actually kind of familiar to my own story. Actually, we'll talk more about that another time. The long and short of it is, we are going back with no jobs and no clue what happens next, so we are completely reliant on God. But I've promised myself to fully explore all my options besides going straight back to a desk job. But we can talk more about that another time too. Atlanta may be our next stop, but we don't know our final destination. One last time, relax, have a drink with me. I have a few things I want to leave with you in Hong Kong. I want you to know that it's okay to be sad about this, to feel the loss. Before we shared this news, I didn't fully appreciate how many people have grown to deeply love and care for our family here. I'm still not always able to recognize any real impact that I make. Please forgive me for my oversight. Thank you for trying to hold it together for our sake, my sake. For asking how you can support us first. To be honest, I've been trying to hold it back too. I don't want to make space to grieve this. I don't want to fully feel how hurt I am. I don't want to be all encompassed by it. I don't have time. I still have so much to do. So let's take a break tonight. And then let's start feeling these feelings out. Let's cry about it together. Let's be angry. Let's question. Let's be honest about what we've meant to each other. You have deeply impacted me in a way that will outlive the time we got to spend together. And I'm just so grateful to have you in my life. I want you to know that it's okay to be excited about this, to celebrate the upcoming journey. For you, this isn't a loss, it's a gain. Because I'm coming back home to you. Because the loss you felt before when we left is finally coming to an end. Ugh, this one is complicated. Because to be honest, I know that joy will come. But right now, I'm just so deep in my feelings most days that I just don't trust what my reaction will be to your happiness. But be happy anyway. I mean it. I really do. Talk to people about it. God knows we need something to look forward to nowadays. And until we reach your level of excitement, please be patient with us. offer us a little grace. We're not coming back the same people as we left. I don't want your first impression of those people to be grim. I do anticipate with pleasing expectation what relationships we will renew and fortify. My, my, how we all have changed. Prepare to leave, God told me. Teach him how to say goodbye, said Christopher Jackson. I love you. I'll see you again soon. Okay? Loose Change was produced and hosted by me. The music featured on this episode was created by Underbelly, Bureaucratic, and Otis McDonald. And the segment intro was mixed by me. A special thank you to Emanuela for letting me cry on the phone until I could create this episode. And to my uncle Alex for encouraging me with the music. For full transcripts and cover art, please visit loosechangepodcast.com/episodes. This episode was a little different than what I told you was coming for the new season, but I hope you understand the circumstances. New episode next week.